Proverbs chapter 8, I'm reading from the Amplified. I, wisdom, walk in the way of righteousness. Now look at this. Moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. Now, let me give you a clue. When you're reading from the Amplified Bible, it's a good thing to read from. It'll save you a lot of time having to break your concordance out because a lot of this is already expanded for you. When it's in parentheses, it's word study. It's an expansion of the word in the Greek. When it's in brackets, it's commentary. And you'll notice whatever's in brackets, it's italicized because it's not actually there. Somebody is interpreting it and inserting it. Okay, so it's really important that you understand what is actually in the text and what is being added. Because sometimes there's some things in the Amplified I scratch my head over, and then I realize it's in brackets. But what this is saying about righteousness, wisdom is the one talking. How many of you know that's Jesus? Jesus was made unto us wisdom. Righteousness, it says moral and spiritual rectitude in every area. Say every area. I'm setting you up for later. Every area and relation. So this is a relationship verse. In the midst of the paths of justice. Say paths. So we're talking about a course, are we not? That I, wisdom, may cause those who love me to inherit true, notice that's in brackets, it's not there, riches, inherit riches. See the implication, if we say true riches, he's talking about something other than money. But it's not there, it's commentary, it's inserted. It includes money. Glory to God. And it includes your well-being, your health, right? We want to prosper. We want our soul to prosper. In fact, we will prosper as our soul prospers, according to 3 John. Amen? That I may cause those who love me to inherit riches, and that I may fill their treasuries. Now, if there's any doubt about the money part of it, he's certainly covered it there, right? Treasuries. Okay, now I'm not here to teach on money. The title of the message is The Ships of God's Armada. The Ships of God's Armada. I like that title. I just think it's cool. I spent a lot of time with that, making that picture and all that. I was like, that is really cool, God. Now, what are the ships that we're talking about? The ships are relationship. Sonship. Fellowship, discipleship, worship, stewardship, and I just found a whole bunch more. I don't know how many of these we're going to cover. Leadership, eldership, citizenship, membership, partnership, ownership. The ones that we had the overheads for, we're going to drill into each one of those. And this is the revelation that I want you to get because I had you say every area and relation. It's not enough just to have certain areas working really good in your life. You need all the ships moving in unison. Amen. Now, Julie and I, we're bent differently. She's bent towards praise and worship. I'm bent towards teaching. She has the radio on 88.7 all the time. She's praising God. And if she had her way, this entire service would be praise and worship. And that would be fine with her. She would think that that was awesome. And me, I'm the opposite. I would rather have all teaching. I want something that stimulates me intellectually, gets me thinking. That's revelation that's happening. See? Not that either one of those are wrong. So guess what? When you come here, you get two ships. You get a healthy dose of praise and worship in the presence of God, and then you get taught the Word of God. You're going to have those two primary things most of the time. There are exceptions when the Lord says, have a healing service. Praise God, we'll do that. We'll follow Him. We'll do whatever God wants to do in the moment. Amen? But the point is, just because we like a certain thing doesn't mean it's okay to leave that other ship back at the dock. See, I'm called to be a worshiper. So because it's not my bent, I have to give that a little more attention. It's not something that I'm going to gravitate to. Amen? We were at the one meeting, and I'm standing on the front row. Now, I worship, but usually I've got a guitar strapped on, and that's how I do it. In fact, that Hebrew word's called the word zamar. It means to praise on a stringed instrument. It's what David did before Saul. Saul got relief from his devils when David would jam for him. But what he would do is manifest the presence of God through a stringed instrument. What was my point? I had a really good point. Oh, yeah, at the one meeting, yes, it was really good. I get distracted by guitars and stuff. So anyway, just imagining David shredding some Hebrew jam. Anyway, I don't know. So there I am in the one meeting, and I'm standing up there on the front row, and I'm like, how do we do this? I don't know what to do. It's like I just felt weird, but it didn't take me long. I got past the awkwardness of it. I just bowed my heart before the Lord, and I just found myself lost in His presence. Before I knew it, it's like I'd drawn a curtain around me. I didn't know that there were even other people there. See, and that's what worship is for. And so we're to be a worshiper because that is our opportunity. When we have worship, it's an opportunity for us to experience Him. It's our invitation to Him to manifest. He's here because He came with us, but we're talking about a manifest presence of God. And God can change a heart in a nanosecond without somebody calling it out. Bam, there it is. You just had an encounter with the Creator. But we also need teaching. We need to have our minds renewed to the Word of God. We need to be in that process. We'll read that scripture here in a moment. What I'm saying is that when we talk about God's armada, it's all these ships, all the ships that I listed. And I had a bunch more that I left off the list just for the sake of time. But they need to move in unison if we want optimal success. There are people, they're like, I'm saved, I have my salvation, I'm good. They're okay living without provision. They're okay with living without health. In fact, a lot of times they'll accuse God of making them sick because He wanted to teach them. Those kinds of things come from religion. They left some ships in the dock. Thank you. Are you with me? And so the point is we want all of them moving together. All of those ships, if we want optimal success, amen? Now, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 6. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. In 1 John chapter 4, I read verse 7 through 19 for literally 3 months because I had an experience with God, and that's where I found the experience in the Word of God. And verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. The next verse, verse 20, says, if we say that we love God and we hate our brother, we are a liar. I didn't write that. It sounds kind of sharp and harsh, but that's the Word of God. How can you say you love God whom you've not seen and hate your brother who you have seen? So there's an example of two ships. Somebody's trying to ride the I love God ship, but they left the love in their brother ship in the dock. And God says, it's not working. In fact, if we have some stressed out relationships, I know from my experience with the Lord, He's only going to talk to you about that. You may try to go around, hey, Lord, tell me about missions and let me go about Lord, you're not saying anything. I know what I'm talking about. But people will try to bypass it. And really what happens, they get into their soul. They start to draw on experience and things like that rather than rhema from the Lord. Amen? Matthew chapter 6 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Say righteousness. Now, I didn't point that out back in Proverbs 8. Wisdom walks in the path of righteousness, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I was tempted to put almost the whole chapter in there because I was going to list for you all the things. But this is Jesus honing in for us. What do we seek? We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I want you to know they are coupled together. It's the kingdom of God which has his righteousness in it. Are you ready to talk about righteousness? Is it all right if we go there for a minute? I mean, this is not my message, but it's certainly worth mentioning. In the Old Testament, the only way to be righteous in the Old Covenant was to keep the law. And the law gave you zero power. Today, we have the greater one in us. And he said his laws, he will write them on our hearts. So the law of God is written here. I now live by conscience, not by some list. It's a living relationship. And now I am righteous because Jesus kept the law. Jesus satisfied the law. I believe in him and I am righteous apart from the law. If you try to do it the old way, you're on your own. And you have to do it all, and you have to do it perfect, and you can't. And what's it going to do? It's going to minister death. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The letter kills. Calls the law the ministry of condemnation. The only thing it can do is tell you, guilty. But we're free from that. We're free from that. So when we talk about righteousness in the New Testament, it is a much different thing. And so we're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, okay? Listen to that verse from the Amplified. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Religion will read that and say, make sure you do everything right. Make sure you do every... No, I'm supposed to do it like he does it. Now, the only way I know how he does it is I'm in relationship with him. I'm having fellowship with him. He doesn't call me servant. He calls me friend. I get to know what moves God. Oh, this is about to get all kind of good up in here. Are you ready? Go over to Proverbs chapter 2. Now, I'm not drilling down in any of the ships today. We covered worship just a little bit. Proverbs chapter 2, and let me say this. God is a package God. That's good news. He delivers you a whole package. Now, some people get so excited with the wrapping, they leave the package. But there's more. And there's a lot of words throughout the scriptures that I call package words. Sozo is one of those, the word saved. Whenever you use the word sozo, it means all of its definition every time you use it. In the Hebrew, the word shalom means that. Virtually the same word. Salvation is another package word. Some words, when we go to the Greek, we have to select which context would apply to the word. Which of these definitions do I select? We have the same thing in the English. You'll open up the dictionary and you'll see 3, 4, sometimes 5, sometimes more ways that that word is used. But you have to use it in a context. That's why the Vines Expository is really good, because it helps you locate the context. In this scripture, it's using the word like this. In this scripture, it's using the word like this. But God also has these package words. I mentioned to you sozo. Sozo means completeness, wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Every time you use it, sometimes it's translated healed. Sometimes it's translated saved. But it means all of that every time you use it. Amen. God is a package God. So think of that armada again. Think of all the ships. It's a package. He wants all your ships moving in concert together. They all have a mission. I was even going to break down some naval vessels for you. You have the aircraft carrier. What does that do? That's this giant ship that basically brings an airport and the aircraft into theater. Glory to God. Gets me happy when I think about that stuff. But along with that vessel, there's these cruisers that go alongside. Now, those things are amazing. They could handle themselves, but they're there to protect the aircraft carrier. They all have the same mission, let's say Desert Storm or something like that. They all have the same mission, but they each have a different function. But it's the same mission. Where did I tell you to go? Proverbs 2, I think we ought to read it. Okay, thank you. We'll start reading in verse 2, and this is from the Amplified Bible. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to skillful and godly wisdom, and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding, applying all your powers to quest for it, yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom, there it is, as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasures, then, say then, you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. And, look at this, find the knowledge of our omniscient God. When we talk about the knowledge of God, it's really threefold. One is to know about God, to learn about God. That's what a lot of churches are doing today. They know about God. In fact, I define religion as about God, but without God. He's not necessarily in it. The second, which I think is the most important, is to know Him. So it's the knowledge of God, knowing about God. Secondly, is knowing God Himself. And then thirdly, you get to know what He knows. He shares with you His knowledge. That's awesome. That's the result of number two, amen? I don't want to stop at the lowest. I don't want to just know about Him. I want to know Him. Verse 6, for the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it up for the, who? For the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with Him. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are upright before Him. Amen. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity, that He may guard the paths, say paths. That's the direction those vessels are going, right? That He may guard the paths of justice. Yes, He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and fair dealing in every area and relation. This is how we get all our ships moving in unison, in concert. Yes, you will understand every good path. There's a lot of paths that we could go. What we don't want, we start off all together and one of them goes, hey, I'm going this way. No, 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 you won't be where we need you. It's moving together. Are you seeing that? That's the revelation for the day. Now go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the what? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not knowing about Him, only knowing Him. And knowing what He knows. Are you with me? As His divine power has given. Notice that is past tense. I'm not waiting for it. It has already come. Already been delivered. Here it is. As His divine power has given to us most things. The largest percentage of things. All. Everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. And again, it's through the knowledge of Him. It's through knowing Him. Say it that way. Who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. God wants us to partake. He doesn't want you to just open the package and be impressed with the bag. He wants you to get into it and enjoy all of it. He's a package God. Amen. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, now watch this, this is why we read this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. That sounds like a whole lot of ships. We are to add those ships to our faith. Amen? For if these things are yours and abound, they're moving in concert, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will know Him. Now, I'm not here to preach law. I'm not here to tell you, you got to do more. You need to do this. You need to add this to this and add this to that. And, you know, I'm not here to do that. But I'm showing you that God is a package God. See? And if we'll pay attention to the main things, which is seeking His kingdom and His righteousness, all the stuff comes with it. It gets better. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, it's interesting to me. Why does he say, present your bodies? Because that requires all of me. I can't just take my body and not my soul, my body and not my spirit, and my body's going to serve God. Do you think it's going to do it all by itself? No, my mind has to be involved. My soul has to be involved. Amen? So that verse really is pointing to spirit, soul, and body. See? And he goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Say renewing. By the renewing. That's ing. That's present tense, repeated action, ad infinitum. You don't wake up, oh, praise God, my mind is renewed. I'm good. Now I'm going to take a vacation from all of this Christian stuff. Watch me. My mind is completely renewed. You're heading backwards. You're heading back to port. It's the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's some people that will teach that there's three wills. God has a good will, He has an acceptable will, and then He has the perfect will. And I want you to know it's all three. His will is good, His will is acceptable, and His will is perfect. It's all three of those. Amen? Praise God. So what are we doing? By renewing our minds, that is how we propel these ships. That's fuel in these ships. We know what to think. In fact, in the New Living Translation for verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. How many of you know they're acting crazy right now? I mean, they're confused about what a man is and what a woman is. I mean, it's bad. It's dark out there. It's dark. Don't go there. And don't try to compromise. We have standards. The world says there's no absolutes. That's the stupidest statement on the planet. That statement undermines itself. How can that statement be an absolute if there are none? It undermines itself anyway. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see that? It's one will. One of the translations says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The world wants to squeeze you. Remember the old Play-Doh factories? That's my reference for this. He's trying to make you into something that everybody else is. No, you be who God made you. Let Him shape you. Amen. The word renewing there, are you ready for this? It means renovation. Then it says in the Vine's Expository, the adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God. Who are we thinking like? To the mind of God, which is designed to have a transforming effect upon the life. When we start to think like God thinks, that to me is the bonus of knowing Him, is I get to know what He knows. I'll start to think like God thinks, and that will cause the transformation. That's how all those ships move in concert together. So what are we renewing our minds to? We need to do an inventory. Let's look and make sure all these ships are in working order. They all have their mission. They're all moving in concert with each other. Amen? And if we see an area where we've neglected it, let's go in there and swab the deck. All these Navy metaphors, sorry. The dictionary says, to restore to good condition, make new or as if new, again, repair, to reinvigorate, to refresh. You know, when I think of refreshing, I think of my laptop. If I walk away from my laptop, in fact, our computer back there where Jordan is, if we leave it for an hour, the thing's shutting off, and it'll shut off the overhead. So what do? We have to go up and refresh, 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 refresh. My computer, all of a sudden, you're getting updates at 3 in the morning. I'm like, who's on my computer? I know, because I'm up at that time sometimes, and I'll hear that thing fire up, and I'm like, what's going on? And we need updates from the Lord. We need new downloads, don't we? From the Lord. Go over to Proverbs chapter 4. We're coming in for a landing. Are you getting helped? Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll start reading from the New Living Translation, verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I love how that's worded. The traditional King James says, guard your heart because out of it springs the issues of life. I like that wording. Guard your heart above all else. So we're renewing our mind and we're guarding our heart. We're renewing our mind so that we'll find the right course. It'll determine the course, and this will guard the course. In fact, in the Good News Bible, for that verse, it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. It's quiet in this Presbyterian camp meeting this morning. I mean, it's quiet. Are you guys thinking? Is that what's happening? We start talking about renewing the mind. It's basically we need to do an inventory. Start thinking about what we're thinking about. Because before we know it, we can be 3 miles down the wrong road. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This building issue. That is a current thing for me. Before I know it, I could be thinking about what about and how. Oh my gosh, I've let that horse go. And I got to go back and reel it in. Anyway, be thinking about what you're thinking about. Amen. Praise God. Now, how do I do that? Everybody would agree. Yes, praise God. That's good. Yes, let's guard our heart. How do you do it? The rest of the chapter tells you how to do that. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Man, I could go down that road right there. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about let him who steals steal no longer, and let him speak the truth with his neighbor. He's writing to spirit-filled believers in the church in Ephesus. Most people think that their mamas raised honest kids, right? And he's saying, don't lie. And most of us would think, I don't lie, I never lie. It also says in Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There are times, maybe Julie and I are having a tiff, you know that happens on occasion. And when we are, I can quote scripture and it not be a blessing. If you had a transcript, you'd go, my God, he's right, but it's being corrupted by my soul. Are you with me? But I thought the word, it is the word, but it's going through a flawed vessel. It's picking up too much flavor of the pipe. Maybe it's a wrong application. You guys are laughing, right? So it's not just us. We're not the only ones that do that. But just being real. So let's talk about the lying thing. Can we talk about that just for a little bit? It's subtle, and you don't realize it. We had the temperature drop a few weeks back, and you'll hear people go, I'm freezing to death. Really? I don't think it's in the 30s. See, it's the exaggeration. There's a million flies on this porch. If we actually counted them, there might be 7. What are we doing? We're embellishing. Man, I was in a hurry to get there. I was flying down the road. Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Really? Man, that person was driving me up the wall. Phone was ringing off the hook. Turn that ringer down. I'm burning up. I laughed so hard, I thought I would die. Really? That's crossways to the word. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Talk in line with the word. People will remember you. If you say, I laugh so hard, I could feel endorphins being released in my body. I could tell I was getting healthier by the second. They're going to look at you and go, but that's accurate. See? You don't need to embellish. Tell the truth. Amen? Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Verse 27, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. That is how you guard your heart. How many of you know there's a conspiracy out there of distractions just to get you off track? And what are we trying to do? We're trying to stay on the safe path. Now, in closing, go over to Philippians chapter 4. Got another package scripture for you. That what we read in Proverbs 4, that's a package. Those are ships. Amen? Philippians chapter 4, and I'm reading again from the New Living Translation, and it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, praise God, he's going to close. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's up to us. You can aim your thoughts on purpose. You can choose what you think about. And he gave you a very healthy list of what it is we should aim our thoughts at. We're to take captive every thought and vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're to take those captive. How do we do that? How do we actually do that? You have to replace it. See, if you've got symptoms that are screaming at you or a building situation, it's like, you know what? I begin to quote, I replace it with the Word of God. I cast the whole of my cares onto the Lord because He cares for me. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? Therefore, do not worry. So you start quoting the Word of God. You got symptoms in your body. They're speaking to you. They're saying, you are sick. You are sick. You are sick. It doesn't help you to go, don't think about that. Don't think about that. Don't think, because you're thinking about it. You have to replace it with the Word of God. By His stripes, I am healed. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens, makes alive my mortal body. I'm going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do it. That's how you do it. You replace those thoughts with promises. It's the exceedingly great and precious promises that make us partakers. Glory to God. Well, did you get anything out of that?